Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here today. Good morning, everyone. I love that old Jewish proverb, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness, even if the candle is made of wax from fossil fuels. So, it's a pretty grim situation. There's no denying it. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. But I know it's also possible to get paralyzed by this incredibly difficult long-term problem. It's difficult on a lot of different fronts. Number one, just being that the atmosphere is well mixed, and so it by definition, this is a problem that has to be solved by all nations on the planet. One nation acting alone cannot do it. Okay, and we all know how difficult it is to get a bunch of different nations to work together towards a common goal. So it's grim. I mean, I even wore a very grim T-shirt today. I don't know if you can read this, but what it says, it's got a picture of a dinosaur on it, okay? And it says, fuel for the next great extinction. Okay, this is really a grim situation. I have to use humor just to keep myself going, you know? So part of what today's sharing with you is really all about is just focusing on some hopeful things to sort of keep my own spirits up and hopefully keep your spirits up. Because I think we are at a very special moment in terms of the effort to do something about this, at least in this country. And that's because, and here's the interesting thing that's kind of new, there's 86 members of the House of Representatives now who have committed to do something about this problem. They call themselves the Climate Solutions Caucus, and they are by design bipartisan. In other words, you cannot join the Climate Solutions Caucus unless you bring someone with you from the opposite side of the aisle. So it's brilliant. Absolute genius, whoever thought this up. And so there are 43 Republicans and 43 Democrats in the Climate Solutions Caucus right now, and it's growing all the time. To me, this is profoundly hopeful. And the other great piece of news that I saw just last week is that it's official now. Wind power is cheaper than coal. Wind electricity is cheaper than coal. Can you believe that? that is huge news too. Okay, I'm a practical person, so I view things from a practical perspective. This is really, really good news. Why? Because the free market is going to do a lot of the work for us without any kind of massive, legislative change, although we need that too. But together, I think the combination of these two facts, the fact that there's a bipartisan movement in Congress that is depoliticizing this issue in a big way. They're saying, look, we've got 43 Republicans, 43 Democrats, and we want to do something about this issue. And the price of clean energy is now cheaper than dirty energy. So those are very potent forces, and they're big forces, they're macro forces, the kinds of things that can move nations, big stuff, right? So I do feel a sense of hope, and I'm reminded of something Obama said once. He said, like, hope is a dangerous emotion, or maybe it was Martin Luther King, I don't remember. And I've got that feeling right now. Yeah, this is a dangerous emotion, but it's a great feeling. It's like, okay, this is a time for action. This is an all hands on deck moment. Vote. Get out there and vote and make sure everybody votes. This is it. We all have to get on board right now and get everyone out to vote. And I'm not going to be explicitly partisan in this pulpit, but vote your conscience, learn about the issues, get out there. My brother doesn't vote, and that just pisses me off. And I'm just going to say it's no longer acceptable to not vote. I think if you someone you know doesn't vote, just sit on them until they get out and vote. You know, we need to vote. Like, your life depends on it for a lot of reasons. But I think this is an opportunity for climate action to happen, for climate legislation to happen. And the economists all say, my colleagues at UCSD who are top-notch economists all say that the best way to solve this problem is a carbon tax. And even better, a carbon fee. And okay, what's the difference between a fee and a tax? Well, Ronald Reagan said, if the government doesn't keep the money, it's not a tax. Okay? So you can tell your friends who admire Ronald Reagan, whoever they may be, that Ronald Reagan said that if it's not kept by the government, it's not a tax. Okay, so that's what a fee is. A fee is something that is not kept by the government. So what we do is we put a fee, say $50 a ton, on any carbons taken out of the ground, oil, gas, coal, whatever. That fee is then returned to the citizens of the United States once a year with their tax return. The infrastructure already exists to do this. It's easy. And it's been done before in other places, like British Columbia has a carbon fee and dividend, as it's called. So fee and dividend is what the economists say is the most practical way from a hard-nosed economics perspective to solve this problem. Cap and trade does not work. It's too complicated. Cap and trade, for those of you who know about this, worked great for sulfur dioxide from power plants. Why? Because there's only 71 point sources in the whole nation. 71. That's a small enough number that it's practical to actually make cap and trade system work. I won't go into the details, but basically for carbon pollution and climate change, it does not work. Why? Because there are millions, I'm not exaggerating, literally millions and millions of little individual sources of carbon, and it's way too complex to make a cap and trade system work. So carbon fee is the way to go. So tell everyone you know, carbon fee and dividend is the solution that really will work from an economic science point of view. And studies after studies after studies show that this is true. So this is really solid science. So we have the natural sciences rock solid, the economic sciences rock solid. Now we're just waiting for the political will to do this. And I think I sniff something in the wind that says this might just be possible after November's election. So God bless you all.